Hello, welcome to the Tiger Performance Institute monthly audio lesson. And today I want to talk about the subject of team flow. And the title of my audio lesson is How to Massively Improve Team Performance. I remember it well, it was like yesterday, but in the late 2000s, after completing an acquisition which doubled the size of our company, I began pondering an important question. How in the world can I create an environment where our teams in 9 different stores in 3 states will care and produce like I do? Anyone I spoke to expressed their opinion bluntly, suggesting my question was silly, that no one can get that out of any staff. One mentor of mine is so against having employees, emphatically believing they all go lame eventually. Well, I didn't buy it, and you shouldn't either. This month's lesson is how to create an environment that wins and massively improves team performance without you standing over them. This method enabled me to prove that owner-level service and performance can be delivered sustainably over the long run, and even more importantly, it can be scaled. And really, I'm going off script here a little bit from what you see in the transcript, and that is, listen, if you want to have a quality of life and build a business that turns into something that you actually like later on in life when you're successful, then you need to really grasp this concept. Because if you don't, you're going to work yourself to death. It's important to define performance first. Performance is the setting of a plan and goals and then achieving them. Superior performance is characterized by setting ever more challenging goals and consistently over time achieving them, all the while counting your gains and celebrating. At Tiger Performance Institute, we believe in the performance formula. Why? Because we need to understand how it's created and what are the roadblocks to performance. So understanding these drivers of performance enables you to then create an environment for peak performance. And the performance formula is very simple. It simply states performance equals skill minus interference. I'll say it again. Performance equals skill minus interference. The key term is interference. Interference is anything in your life or business, mentally, physically, habits, actions that prevent you or interferes with you feeling your best and working at your best. Interference can be ADHD, it can be anxiety, it can be another form of mental health challenge. Interference can include stress, emotional control, or lack of resiliency problems. The central idea of the formula is to point out that we all have interference. And whatever it is, it works against our performance. And when you reduce or eliminate the interference, your skills then begin to dominate and performance accelerates. So the same principle then applies to teams. Anything that you as a leader allow to persist in your organization that acts as interference for the collective group you lead and in the individual lives making up your team will prevent the individual and the collective skill of your entire organization from fully showing up each day. When those skills are prevented from expressing, organizational results then suffer. Author Daniel Pink in his book Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us, offers a simpler version of how to build high-performing culture. And that, in my view, produces group flow. Pink establishes 3 drivers of an intrinsically motivating environment in the workplace. Okay? Number 1, purpose. This is a shared why that has organizational buy-in at all levels. Number 2, a path to mastery. This is a roadmap for each job role to gain proficiency. And then number 3, empowerment. Once trained, each person can then exercise control. A quick review clearly shows multiple components of flow are encompassed in Pink's framework for creating a performance culture. First, clarity of direction and agreement within the team is present. Intrinsic motivation is foundational to flow because there needs to be a growth process present collectively in all members of the team. This leads to a growth mindset necessary for mastery. So, mastery also promotes hitting the sweet spot of the challenge skills ratio required to move from the struggle phase through the release phase into the flow phase of the flow cycle. Additionally, empowerment is another word for autonomy. People crave autonomy. Once their skills are up to the challenge and without it, they become bored and disengaged, which blocks their contribution to group flow. Shared agreement on vision blends egos, it fosters effective communication, and it facilitates yes thinking and concentrates attention on the right priorities. So go off script again here. When you get everybody bought in and a clear vision and they agree with it, and then you give them a path to mastery, meaning a way for them to grow in their job, and then you empower them to make decisions so they have autonomy, you will have the most motivated workforce you have ever seen in your life. And I just applied this. You know, I got out of my pet business that I'm talking about here in this article, and I've got two new companies. Obviously, you've subscribed to the Tiger Performance Institute membership, and that company I use the same principle in. And then a health food store I bought in Florida, after only 60 days, I had the company entirely running on autopilot without me making any decisions because I recognized the skills of five key leaders. They bought into purpose. They already were trained. I just developed them some more in leadership, and then I empowered them. And our store is actually doing better than the prior owner who micromanaged them. And so you can do the same thing. And I'm doing this currently. This isn't a theoretical exercise. I'm living it currently. So leadership and flow, let's talk about that. There's one simple question for leaders to ponder when you're considering flow. And the question you want to ask is, how do you migrate your personal ability to get into the zone to those you lead within the organization? And the answer has exciting possibilities, because when a leader gets this right, exponential growth can occur in an organization. The right kind of leader can learn and engineer these conditions or triggers into the culture of their teams or organizations. And here are the researched and validated conditions or triggers for catalyzing flow in the culture of your organization. And you can trust them. These are based on excellent research over several decades. So here's 10 conditions of group flow. Number one, complete concentration. So do you provide a workspace or a layout where there's privacy, where employees can manage distraction and they can focus? Open floor plans are a disaster for flow. I get why you do it, because they're efficient in terms of walls. But if you're already in one of those, you've got to create spaces where people can do flow blocks. And that's additional offices or create some quiet zones. Number two, autonomy. Sense of control and empowerment to decide or act. Very simply, if you have somebody bought in and they're trained and they can do their job, get out of their way and let them do it. They'll do it better than you do, and you'll also motivate them. Number three, close listening, meaning listening to understand, not to respond. Does the organization, do you as a leader, have you built in listening or, you know, taking feedback constructively? Have you built that into your business? Okay. I have a weekly meeting on Monday with my leaders for both companies. That's where I do that. You could do the same. The EOS model is really good for that. Number four, communication. Frequent interaction about expectations relating to vision and individual contributions toward the organization's vision. The EOS management model really does this well, because everybody gets personal rocks each quarter that they got to manage to, and you meet on a regular basis, so you're always communicating vision. And the thing you have to remember about vision is that it leaks. You have to say it over and over and over again. Number five, equal participation. Everyone has an ability to contribute, and they do. Okay, again, EOS facilitates a lot of this, where you have the weekly meeting, the L10 meeting, or you have your own weekly meeting where you listen to people and allow them to contribute. Number six, blending of egos. You know, if everybody's bought into the vision and everybody's growing and on a growth trajectory, you typically don't have ego problems, because everybody's busy kind of doing their thing because you've empowered them. If you have ego problems, you need to get rid of them. You don't want any jerks on the team. Number seven, shared goals. Greater purpose than the individual and seeing progress on goals. So what this means is, if you have a great purpose for the company, the people that work there are going to feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves. And so they're part of an overall goal system for the company, and that excites them. And the other thing that I found that's really helpful here is, when you can get every employee to create their own set of goals and help them see how helping the company get their goals will help them get theirs, and vice versa. Number eight, shared risk and unpredictability. You know, in business, there's always the potential for failure, okay? And so that tends to concentrate minds. That's really all that means. I mean, you don't want to be spilling fear thoughts for your team, but I think people just generally understand that. Familiarity, team gains understanding of each other and how each works. This is another great benefit if you do a weekly operational meeting. You don't have a regular communication process, an EOS management process, which means Entrepreneur Operating System, Geno Wickman, the book Traction, that's where you learn about that. That will breed that familiarity. And then number 10, a positive no. And what that means is don't create a culture where when people come to you with ideas, your first reaction is no. What you want to do is let them share it and maybe draw them out a little bit more. And then if you know it's a no, do it in a way that causes them to go back and think on it more, and maybe they can come back to you with something you can say yes to. Don't just dismiss people, because that just kills the innovation and the creativity in them. The important thing is you're not going to employ all of these. I'm just giving you the top 10 that are researched. Frankly, what I have found over the years is if I create an environment where they can focus, if I can have shared purpose and allow them to have a growth trajectory, and then I give them autonomy, just a few of those things like that creates tremendous team flow. You know, and some of these others just happen as a result of when you do those things I just said right. When several, if not all of these triggers or conditions can be designed into your team dynamic, it can lead to substantial gains in team productivity, creativity, and learning. When teams function at this level, friction against their work is reduced, progress is accelerated, and the organization is optimized, not just the individual. Success at the team or organizational level of this magnitude is rare, but it's achievable with the right form of leadership. And I believe that you can be this kind of leader, or you wouldn't be in this kind of a program. So to apply this in your own business, I suggest you first employ Daniel Pink's three drivers model. Develop a purpose with your team, not in your office alone. Gain buy-in and excitement around the purpose, okay? And then take that a step further and develop 3 to 5 core values that represent the most important words or phrases with meaning describing the organization you want to be, such as go the extra mile or growth. The next step then is to create a step-by-step training progression for each job description in the company and a process by which training happens consistently every week. Finally, as your team members buy into the purpose, exhibit the core values in their behavior, and work through the training, free them up to make decisions without your input or oversight. And as you build these foundations to an intrinsically motivating environment, you can then focus on building more group flow triggers from the list that you have here of proven catalysts of flow from the list I mentioned earlier. Is this a ton of work? Of course it is. The payoff, though, is massively improved performance, revenue, and profit growth, and a better, more enjoyable, and sustainable lifestyle for you. And these benefits make it worth it. And let me tell you, my last company, we went from 4 stores to 44 stores in about 8 years. And the first 10 years, we only went from 0 to 4. I implemented this culture, and the energy and the excitement of the employees were what drove this business to where it went. Sure. Me and my partners had to pick good real estate. We had to make sure our finances were sound. We had to manage investors. All of that was important. But if we didn't have that raw energy on the ground, greeting our clients every day, effectively scaled in every store, we would have not had that success story. And so it was worth it. And here's the proof. At the end, before I left and sold, we had a net promoter score of 76, which is higher than Southwest Airlines, Starbucks, and all these fancy names you read about every year in the books and business press. We also had an employee engagement score that was 5 times higher than the national average for retail. That meant the number of employees who were totally committed to their work, they weren't looking for another job. We were 5-fold better, 5x better. We had the highest overall customer satisfaction scores in our entire franchise, and we were in the top 1% of all retailers in America. So there's 3 metrics right there for you that just prove it. And we led the company in sales comps, year-over-year sales comps. If you'll make this investment, it'll not only make your company grow really fast and really successfully, but it also give you a better quality of life as an entrepreneur so you can live a high-flow lifestyle. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to create a house you don't want to live in, that meaning a business that consumes you. I hope this was helpful, and I hope you have a great rest of this month, and I hope you're enjoying the content. You have a great day, and we'll talk next month.